Hallelujah. We want to praise God for bringing us once again together. Hallelujah. So I was praying and I don't have a lot of content but a word. So let's see. We will do that word. We will hear that word and then we will pray. So let's go to Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 29 to 31. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 29 to 31. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Now, this is a prophetic verse that is also confirmed by Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, chapter number 12, where he says, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." And then Apostle Paul realizes that God's power works the greatest in him when he is weak. When he is weak. So this is the same revelation. By the usage of different words and sentences given by Isaiah, he says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Hallelujah. You got to understand that the Holy Spirit cannot work in a vessel that has its own power. The Holy Spirit cannot work in a vessel that believes in his own strength and intelligence. He needs a weak vessel. He needs a broken vessel. He needs a person, a broken and a contrite heart you will not despise. The definition by the Holy Spirit of the broken and a contrite heart is a person who does not trust himself any longer. He says, "I can do nothing, Lord. I don't trust even myself or not no one else. I just trust you." That is a person who is broken in himself, a contrite, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That is a weak person. And that is why that kind of people, what the Lord is saying, he will give power to those people. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? This is also in relation to what Jesus speaks in John chapter number 15. He says, "Unless you abide in me, you cannot do anything. Unless you abide in me." Hallelujah. You can have no power or no strength of yourself, no intelligence of yourself. You just have to crucify your intelligence, your power, your might, your abilities, and just abide in me. Depend 100% on my strength. Depend 100% to receive from me, and then I can work through you. That is weakness. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So we got to understand what is weakness. Weakness is not how we think about, oh, weakness is means, oh, we are weak, or we are depressed, or we are sick. No, not that. Weakness is when you lose all trust on yourself and say, "God, I can do nothing." That is a weak man through whom the grace can manifest, the spirit of grace can manifest through that kind of person. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Hallelujah. You got to understand the context. If this, we say, "Oh, there are beggars on the street, there are weak people, there are people, handicapped people." This spirit, this verse is not from them. They are physically weak. They are power, but it's talking about people who have understood the contrite heart and a broken spirit, not to trust on themselves. It is talking about that weakness. For them, the Lord will increase their might through his spirit. Okay, let's go ahead. Verse number 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. Underline, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. When I was praying for tonight, the Lord told me the wings of the eagle. The wings of the eagle. That is what God told me. That is what we are going to look at for some time. So, again, let me read that verse, verse 31. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So here the Bible talks about that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And then what will happen? They shall mount up with wings of eagle. With wings of eagle. Okay. Why? Now the question is, why? What is the purpose of the Lord giving us the wings of the eagle? Why do we need the wings of the eagle? Do you know, if you don't have the wings of the eagle, you will suffer hostility from the devil. You will suffer persecution. You will be a victim of attacks if you don't have the wings of the eagle. Now, here it is. First, let me give you the revelation and then let me explain you everything. The reason God wants to give us eagle's wings is because He wants us to get out of the serpent's area of influence, not to be affected or influenced by him. Okay, let me come again. The reason why God wants to give us the wings of the eagle, because He wants us to get out of the serpent's area of influence, so that we are not affected or influenced by the serpent. Stay with me. Now, the second thing that I want to tell you, the serpent, that is the devil, can only torment the child of God when he or she is in the serpent's territory or area of influence. His territory is the earth, the flesh, and the carnal mind. Are we together until now? Okay, listen to me. The serpent, the devil, can only torment a person who is in his area of influence. If the person is not in the area of the serpent's influence, the serpent can't even reach that person or do anything to that person. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Like, I know it does not happen in the USA or maybe other countries, it does not happen. But in India, it happens on the streets, even down the building where I stay, that the dogs bark. And the dogs attack here, the stray dogs on the streets. They bark so loudly. Bow, 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 bow. Anyone goes, new person comes, bow, 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 bow. And they attack the person. Okay? So they bark, bow, 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 and they attack the person. And then they will follow the person to attack him. But they have a sphere of influence. They have an area. So that is their area. They will not get out of that area. So as soon as the person crosses their area, the boundary of their area, they will stop at the boundary and they will not be able to reach further to the person and the person will move on. So I am just giving you an example. Maybe you will not be able to relate from other countries, but in India, it happens every night that the dogs bark, bow, 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 bow. Loudly they bark and they attack people. And so these dogs can only attack when the person comes in their sphere, when the person comes in their area of influence. But when the person is out of the area of the dogs, the dogs will not bother them. Hallelujah. The eagle's wings gives you the rising power to rise from out of the influence area of the serpent. Are we understanding the purpose of eagle's wing? That is why God wants to give a believer the eagle's wing. That person will be able to rise out of the serpent's area of influence. Hallelujah. Okay, let me give you some verses. Exodus chapter number 19, verse number 4. Let's go there. Exodus chapter number 19, verse number 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Wow, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we got to understand the context. God is talking about a serpent. God is talking about a serpent living in the water. And then God talks about the way God brought them out was on the wings of the eagle. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the context is different. Now, Isaiah talks about eagle's wings, and here it also talks about eagle's wings. But Isaiah talks about the eagle's wings being given to you, given to the person who waits on the Lord. But here God says, I myself became the eagle's wings. I myself, my spirit. Now we will come to that. Hallelujah. The eagle's wings is the advancement of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Now, Holy Spirit is known by two names. I told you. So last week, we saw the Ruach Elohim. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And in some scriptures, he is known by the name called Ruach HaKodesh. Now, when Jesus talks about the, you know, in John chapter number 14, that he will be the helper and he will teach you all things. That word is Ruach HaKodesh. Remember Psalm chapter number 51, where David says, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. That spirit, that Holy Spirit is Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit within him, Ruach HaKodesh. I had been explaining this to you in the last sermon, so I will not go into that. So Ruach HaKodesh is the spirit of God, is the Holy Spirit inside, and the wings is the advancement of the Ruach HaKodesh, of the Holy Spirit inside, because the Bible is talking about those who wait on the Lord. When you wait on the Lord, the spirit in you starts to develop wings of the eagle, the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Okay? The Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit inside you, advances and it starts to develop wings. Now, wings alone cannot make you rise. You need something else. There is a difference between a chicken and an eagle. You see, chicken have wings. But what they do is, have you seen the chickens? How they fluffer their wings, tuck, 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 like this, the chickens. And the most they can raise to a height is just maybe 3 feet, 4 feet above the ground with the strength of their fluttering wings. Because they flutter the wings and the most they can get up is 3-4 feet high. See the other birds, they flutter their wings like this. And they, like the pigeons and all, they flutter their wings and they can rise up to a certain levels. But have you seen eagles fluttering their wings? No, they don't flutter their wings. Because their wing is connected to a different source of power. And that source of power is the wind that they use to rise high. And that wind is the Ruach Elohim that connects with the wings of the eagles. The wings of the eagle connects with the source of the winds and uses the force of the wind to fly and rise high in the skies and the realms of the air. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Okay, where I was. Okay, listen to me. So Exodus 19, verse number 4. Are you understanding now? So what I am saying is, here the Holy Spirit of God himself became the eagle's wings in Exodus chapter number 19 and took the people out of the area of influence of the serpentine spirit of Egypt. He says, the Bible says, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So, hallelujah. Listen to me. The eagle's wings are given to you for the purpose of getting out of the area of influence of the serpent. Do we see that now in the scripture? And taking you into the presence of God. Hallelujah. That is there in the scripture. I will also give you the scripture. Hallelujah. To take you out of the area of influence of the serpent, of the devil, and take you in the presence of God. take you in the hands of God, take you under his authority. Okay, hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is about Exodus 19:4, that how I bore you on eagle's wing. And if you want to see, Egypt was a serpent. Pharaoh had a serpent. Let me give you the scripture reference. Ezekiel, it's in Ezekiel chapter number 29. Ezekiel chapter number 29, verse number 3. Open your Bible with me. Ezekiel chapter number 29, verse number 3. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great monster. In other version, it says great dragon. That is the big snake. Okay. Who lies in the midst of his rivers, who has said, my river is my own, I have made it for myself. It's a marine serpentine spirit that Pharaoh had. You know, before knowing the Holy Spirit, when I used to read the Bible, I thought Bible is like a storybook where God uses expressions like this. You are Pharaoh, king of Egypt, you great dragon or serpent who lies in the midst of the... He uses expression. But when I encountered the Holy Spirit, then I started to understand these are the realities of the spirit realm. It's not imaginary book, or it's not just imaginary expressions that the Bible is using. These are realities of the spirit realm. Hallelujah. When the Bible says mountains will bow down, seas will roar, we think it's just an expression. It's just like a story, imaginary book. It's not like that. Those things are realities of the realms of the spirit. So Pharaoh, who he was the big snake who was obsessed about his water, who was obsessed about his river. Now, I have already taken a sermon on that, about the serpentine spirit of Egypt. That's a very deep revelation about the serpentine spirit of Egypt. How step by step, God started to defeat the demons, the marine spirits of Egypt by Moses. I'm not going into that. But do you see that this serpentine spirit, Egypt, Pharaoh was a serpent. And until these people of Israel was living were living and residing in the area of influence of the serpent, they were working, they were laboring, but they were not able to worship the Lord. They were not able to grow. They were not able to be established. That is what happens when a believer, a child of God, is in the area of influence of the serpent. You are praying in the area. You are praying. It's a fact. Okay, you are praying. You said you are praying. That's true. You said you are praying. You are actually praying. You are actually reading the Bible. But you are doing all those activities in the area of influence of the serpent. That's why it's not giving you any spiritual benefit. That's why you are not prospering or going anywhere. Because all the spiritual activities that you are performing is in the area of influence of the serpent. And when you continue to perform your prayer and perform your daily devotion in the serpent areas of influence, nothing is going to happen there. You need the eagle's wings to get out of that place. Where the serpent will not be able to harm you, will out of the area of influence of the serpent. I bore you on eagle's wings, God says. And I brought you to myself. Are we understanding now? Hallelujah. What did I say? The eagle's wings are given to a believer by God, so that that believer can come out of the serpent's area of influence and go in the presence of God, go in the place of the holiest of all. Let me give you another scripture for that. Revelation chapter number 12. Open your Bible. Okay, everyone have a Bible when you come on the meeting. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 14. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 14. But the woman is the apostolic church. okay, not going into that, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. Underline that. What she was given? The wings of a great eagle. That she might fly into the wilderness to her place. Okay, let me read from verse 13 onwards. Let me go a verse back. Verse 13. Now when the dragon, again you see the snake, the big snake, the dragon, the serpent of the old, saw that he had been cast out to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. That is Jesus, that is the wisdom of God to which the apostolic church gives birth to. Any which ways, I'm not going into that revelation. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. Why? Now the serpent was persecuting the woman. And then what God gave the woman? He gave the woman the wings of the eagle. To do what? To fly into the wilderness to her place. Where, what will happen to her? Where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. You see, the purpose of the eagle's wing is bringing you out of the serpent's area of influence and taking you in the wilderness. The wilderness signifies the secret place. The wilderness there signifies the presence of God. Taking you in the wilderness, where what will happen to you? You will be nourished. You will be renewed in your strength. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. You can be nourished or your strength can be renewed only when you are out of the presence of the serpent and into the presence of God. Are we understanding? You can be nourished or your strength can be renewed. You can be revived. You are praying. Okay. You are reading the Bible. But are you out of the serpent's presence? Are you out of the serpent's area of influence? Stay with me. What did I say in the beginning? The serpent's area of influence. The serpent can only torment you, attack you, till the time you are sitting or standing or doing whatever in his area of influence. His area of influence, his territory is what? It's the earth, the earthly things, the flesh and the carnal mind. People are praying, but their mind is not renewed. They still have a carnal mind. People are praying, but they are praying in the flesh. People are praying, but they are praying about earthly things. That's why you pray and you are still tormented by the serpent. Why? Because you are in the serpent's area of influence. You have not developed the Ruach HaKodesh wings, the wings of the eagle, to get out of the serpent's area of influence. Jesus says, not every kind of activity will bear fruits. Only those activity where you abide in me and I in you and you, your, my word in you, only that activity will bear fruit. Hallelujah. Here you are praying, but your mind is clouded with worries. Oh, I'm praying, Lord, I need you to deliver my husband. I need you to deliver my son, my daughter, this and that. And your mind is clouded. You are abiding in your worries and praying. You are not abiding in Jesus and praying. You are in the serpent's area of influence. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. You are praying with the anxious mind, not with the carnal mind, not with the spiritual mind. You are in the serpent's area of influence. That's why your prayer cannot last long. Prayers in the spirit can last up to 14 hours. Can also go up to 24 hours. Prayers in the spirit. I'm not talking about long repetitive prayers. I'm talking about just communing and forgetting about time. It can go up to 24 hours. Hallelujah. But here we are not even able to pray for 5 minutes properly. Why? Because we are praying in the serpent's area of influence. Amen. People of God, remove your mute and say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Serpent. People are just not able to pray. Read the word. 15 minutes, that's it. Because you are doing things in the serpent's area of influence. What you need, brother, sister, are the wings of the eagle to get out. of the serpent's presence and get into the presence of God, where you will be nourished, where you shall renew your strength. It's not about the words that we use in prayer. It's not about the Bible verses we know, no. But it's about from which place are you praying? Are you praying in the presence of God? Are you praying in the Spirit? Are you reading the word in the Spirit? Or are you reading and praying in the devil's field? Do whatever you want to do. The devil will continue to hamper you, attack you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding until now? So the Bible is saying, so is the definition and the purpose of the eagle's wing clear to you now? The eagle's wing is given to a believer so that the believer can get out of the serpent's area of influence and go in the presence of God. That is what Revelation chapter number 12 verse 14 says. That is what Exodus chapter number 19 verse 4 says. Okay, let's come to Isaiah chapter number 40. Let's come back to Isaiah chapter number 40. Verse number, yeah, the same verse number 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. Okay. Before we go to that, before we go to that, I told you the wings that are developed, the wings of the eagle, is that is the advancement of the Ruach HaKodesh or the Holy Spirit inside of you. The wings that develops is the Spirit of God in you that develops the wings. Have you seen the ad? Red Bull gives you wings. When you drink Red Bull, it gives you wings. When you wait on the Lord, you will get wings to your spirit inside of you. That means it's the advancement, it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Many people don't understand what is waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is a process or is a process of selflessness. Is a process of selflessness and crucifixion. Hallelujah. Waiting on the Lord is a process of selflessness and crucifixion. Hallelujah. Because including believers, unbelievers all together, you see so much of impatience in people. Impatience, impatience. Things are not happening for 2 days. They are impatient. A family used to come in our church here in India. And that family bought a crippled boy. They had one son, one daughter. The younger son was around the age of 9 years or 10 years. He was about 3-4 years. And that boy was crippled. He could not move. He could not talk. That boy was crippled. And these people came from Hindu background. When they came, and one of the parts I laid hands, it started to straighten up. And then I saw a vision when I was praying that he got up and he jumped. But the Lord told me, I am not healing him completely, Rahul. Tell them. I am only healing a part of them, part of his body. Because there is problem with his parents. They are also taking him to other places. So because there was a lot of black thread, those marks on him that were from other religious occultic things on his body that the parents put on him. So the Lord told me, I'm not healing him completely now. Tell them that they need to have faith and wait on me. When I see that their trust is only on me and not on other gods, then when I have verified it, then I will heal him completely. So I told them that. Then I ministered to them for around few months. I also went to their house. But they were impatient. They were very impatient. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Rahul, why things are not changing? We want to make it fast. We want to make it fast. We thought when we come to Jesus, we will get things immediately. I used to teach them patiently, but they were impatient. Then in a dream, the child was not at all getting healed again. Because these people, they were taking him again to other people, other temples, other gods, everywhere. And when I used to go, I used to ask them, what is this thread? Why you are making him wear the thread when we are praying for him? They said, no. We are trying other places. I said, Jesus is not a commodity. Jesus is God. You have to understand that. They were very impatient. In a dream, I saw that from 4 or 5 years, they were fed up with the child and they were planning to kill the child. In a dream, I saw. Hallelujah. And after some days, I could do what I could do, but the news came that the child is dead. And after that, they started to post pictures, go to places and enjoy themselves. Hallelujah. But I believe I prayed on the child who had no understanding and he has gone to be with the Lord. Amen. No patience. Something does not happen, they want to explore other options. No patience. That is, the waiting is not selfless. The waiting is not crucified. Hallelujah. Waiting is a process of selflessness. Hallelujah. You telling God, like one of the examples I can give you from the Bible is John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. I think so. John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. It says, verse number 1, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now this scripture, this story of Mary Magdalene, is the perfect example to teach us waiting on the Lord. Okay? So she went to the tomb, and what she saw? She went early morning when it was dark. The stone was taken away from the tomb, okay? Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. So she thought, maybe the apostles, the disciples can help me. And she went to the disciples and said, Jesus is not there in the tomb, come with me. Okay. And then what happened? Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. Oh my God, what a zeal for the Lord. Running for the Lord. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying there. Yet he did not go in. So he stooped down. He saw the linen clothes. He did not see the body of Jesus. They were searching for Jesus. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again to their own houses. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Now, people start off with showing so much of zeal and running for the Lord. But when it is time for selfless waiting on the Lord without seeing any results, they go back home. The disciples went back home. Amen. They started off running for the Lord. Mary, poor Mary, she was not even, you know, she was a lady, so she could not run. But these people were the first to reach the tomb. Oh, we want to see, where is Jesus? This and that. And when they see, oh, someone took Jesus, the body of Jesus is not there. What's the use of waiting here? Let us go back. There is no evidence that we could see and wait here that could personally benefit us. Let us go back. They went back home. They started very, very zealously. They started very powerfully, but they did not have an appetite to selflessly wait on the Lord. They went back. But the Bible says Mary stood there weeping. Ask a question. Why is Mary waiting there? Is there Jesus? No, Jesus is not there. The body of Jesus is not there. but she waited in that place out of a selfless attitude. Lord, even if you are not here, I just wait. I am searching for you. Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? That is waiting. Hallelujah. You were praying for something. 1 week you did not see anything. You leave that place. You leave that place of prayer. That is not waiting. Waiting is a continuous process. Hallelujah. When the God of heaven, the God that we serve, sees this person is not going to leave my presence. I am not giving him anything, but still this person is seeking me. The Lord gives that person the wings of the eagle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Mary was a crazy waiter for the Lord. And when the Lord sees, oh, you know, I kept blessings from him. I kept any evidence from him. That I sent no one to encourage him. But still, this person is not leaving my presence. His faith is tested and his faith is proved selfless. His waiting is proved selfless. He is crucified, the flesh. Let me give you the wings of the eagle. Those that wait on the Lord, are you understanding now? Shall renew their strength, shall mount up wings like of eagle. If you see a person rising and the devil cannot even touch that person, the person has waited. That person has waited. Hallelujah, that person has waited. Waiting is not easy, because when you wait on him, there will come many offers from the devil to you. When you are waiting on God, there will come many offers from the devil to you. Take a different route. You want that job? That person is ready to give you money. Many other things will come to your mind when you are waiting. But you say, Lord, and the it's not about the gift that God is going to give you. It's not about the blessing that you are going to receive. It's about the process of waiting, the time of waiting. That is what prunes you. That is what starts to strengthen your spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. From the time I started to seek the Lord, and I knew the voice in my mouth, the revelations that I teach, and even pastors told me, prophets told me, you are supposed to minister to thousands of people. I knew that the voice that I had will transform nations. But the Lord kept me, and even now in the wilderness, and he told, wait, 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 wait. Hallelujah. And even still, I'm waiting. Still, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Amen. And hallelujah. Are we understanding? Because the Lord is giving me the wings of the eagle and teaching me how to stay out of the serpent's area of influence and stay in his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Waiting on the Lord, you will say, how to wait on the Lord, brother? Waiting on the Lord is a lifestyle. It's not a tradition. It's not a ritual that I will tell you, do 21 days of waiting and fasting. No, it's a lifestyle that you don't touch other options or offers given to you. You just wait for God's perfect time.
Wait, I say wait.
Amen. You just wait for God's perfect. You're just waiting for it. And then the lifestyle along with the activity of waiting, you just go in your room where there is no one, lock your bedroom and just open the Bible and say, I am waiting on you. I'm not here to ask you anything. I'm just waiting on you, Lord. That is how I get revelations.
Still know.
I go there in the room and I say, Lord, I'm just waiting on you. And when I'm waiting on you, sometimes I will read the Bible. After reading the Bible, I will pray in tongues. I will just wait. I will just wait. I will just wait. And in that waiting, I will not talk to anyone. I will not let any voice, other voice to come in the presence of God. I will not let any voice come in the presence. That is waiting, a selfless and sure activity. Okay, are we understanding waiting? Okay, I'm not concentrating more on the waiting, but I want to teach on eagle's wings. So that is where I will concentrate on. Eagle's wings. When you do that, the Bible says you will be given eagle's wings. What is the giving of eagle's wings? The eagle's wings is the advancement of the Ruach HaKodesh. The eagle's wings is the advancement of the Spirit inside of us. When we are doing that, we will feel dry. We will be tempted. Maybe you will have dreams of your old sins. You getting into your old sins. Hallelujah. What the devil wants to do is, devil wants to keep people from having eagle's wings. That's why he does not want people to wait on the Lord. That's why he uses his territory, that is the carnal mind, that is the flesh and the earthly things. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me? Okay. Hallelujah. So, where we were. When you wait on the Lord, the Ruach HaKodesh in you, the advancement of it is, it gets the wings of the eagle. What starts to happen? Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. And the same verse that we were on. Verse number 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Okay, stop there. Shall renew their strength. What does that mean? That means they will disconnect from the source of the flesh. They will disconnect from the source of earthly things. They will disconnect from the source of their own carnal mind. And they shall connect to a different source that will release strength in them. Hallelujah. Listen to me. And that source is the wind of God, the Ruach Elohim. The Ruach HaKodesh will connect with the Ruach Elohim, and then there will be a supply of supernatural strength. That strength will make a 70 years old praying woman more stronger than a 25 years old boy. That is what it says. The youth shall grow weary and faint. Hallelujah. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I told you, eagles are eagles. They are not chicken or pigeons. When you see chickens, they will flutter their wings so hard, and the most they can rise up to is 3 feet or 2 feet, like this, above the ground. Even pigeons, they flutter their wings. But eagles rise high. The book of Job says they make their nest in the high mountains, on the top of the mountains, where no one can come. When you start to develop the wings of the eagle, when you wait on the Lord, wings of the eagle will be given to you. And what will start to happen to you is, you will disconnect from the power of your wings, and you will connect with the power of the wind of God that will make you rise high. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When you see eagles flying in the highest of the realms of the air, they never flutter their wings. Their wings are still. That is stillness. In stillness, they rise. In stillness, they rise. In meekness, they rise high. Hallelujah. That is where the serpent loses power over you. Are we understanding? That is where you are out of the influence of the serpent. Because you have mounted up wings that of eagle. Now you are connected to a different source. That is the wind of God. That is assisting your wings and rising you up in the realms of the air. Rising you up in the realms of the air. The Ruach Elohim is doing that to you. You are not doing that. The wind of God. Let me take you to another verse. Now you will understand the words of Jesus in John chapter number 3. John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. John, chapter number 3, verse number 8. It says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is what Jesus is saying. Are you understanding that now? He is talking about the children of the Spirit, the children of God who have the Ruach HaKodesh with the wings in them. You will not know where they were and where they are, because what is happening to them is they are being carried away by the winds of God. They are being carried away by the Ruach Elohim of God. Hallelujah. It's impossible. Do you know that? Do you wonder about it? It's impossible for a serpent to attack an eagle. Serpent cannot even think about attacking an eagle. That is what you are. That is what I am. It's impossible for Satan, for the serpent to attack us. Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. Okay, I'm not going into the verses, but you know what happened. I explained you many times. I told you last time, it was the breath of life, the breath of God, the Ruach Elohim that gave Adam life. And God told him, when you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. And I told you, when they ate of the fruit, the Ruach Elohim left, and death is not an incident. Death is not an instant incident. Death is a process. Death manifested by the sting of sin. When Adam and Eve were stinged by the serpent, his sting was not his poison from his teeth. His sting was the sin, was the disobedience, was the rebellion that he was giving and inculcating and installing in Eve. That was the sting of sin that the serpent stinged Eve and Adam with. And when they were stinged with sin, the spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, that can make them get out of the serpent's influence, left them, and they were left on the earth. And that is what the curse on the serpent was. You shall crawl on your belly, and of the dust of the earth you shall eat. That means the earth will become your residence, you serpent. It will become the area of your influence. Hallelujah. And when the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh leaves us, our body is just become, you know, is as if something leaves and we fall down like that. That is why it is called the fall of Adam. How did he fall? The Spirit left him and he fell to the earth. He became an earthly creature rather than a divine being that God created him to be. Amen. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. And what happened to Adam and Eve at that moment? They started to operate in the territory, in the area of influence of the serpent. They started to say, oh, we are naked. They started to think about self. That is the flesh. That is the carnal mind. That is the area of the serpent's influence. When we operate in the area of serpent's influence, with whatever we do, you fast for 40 days, but you are doing it in the serpent's area of influence. You are doing it in carnal mind, in the flesh, in concentrating on earthly things. It will benefit nothing to you. What we need to have is the wings of the eagle. Mercy. Hallelujah. Mercy. What we need to have is the advancement of the Ruach HaKodesh in us that can receive assistance from the Ruach Elohim for us to fly high in the realms of the air. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now? Amen. Amen. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. This, I wanted to talk to you. Let me read a verse from Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Now I'm reading from NKJV. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 5 onwards. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, carnal mind, that is the area of the serpent's influence, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God, the Ruach, dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Ruach of Messiah, that is Christ, he is not his. And if Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life, the Ruach is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit, the Ruach of him who raised Messiah from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Ruach who dwells in you. Hallelujah. Carnal mind, the carnal mindset is the field of the devil. The carnal mind, because I see so many churches, they are praying, and what they are praying is receive breakthrough, pray for marriage, pray for babies. I'm not saying don't pray for those things, but you are carnally minded. You have forgotten that you are an eagle. The church has forgotten that you are. I will come to that. I don't know if I get time tonight, because to God has called the church to control the nations of the earth. Do you know that? That's why the book of Isaiah prophesies that my house shall be called a house of prayer to what? To receive breakthroughs? To receive babies? To receive jobs? No. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. It's a government house. That is what a church is. But the church has been manipulated. The apostolic and the prophetic foundations that Jesus laid and the apostles laid for the church has been today manipulated. I know people have all night prayer meeting, and all they pray in the prayer meeting is for court cases, for marriages, for this, for that. I'm not saying don't pray for that, but people have become carnally minded. They are just waiting for their breakthrough. We are waiting for the breakthrough, brother. We are waiting for the breakthrough. Just pray that I get a release of the property. Just pray that I get a release of the court case. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for that, but all that your prayer is about is only breakthrough and not about the things of the spirit. Hallelujah. Making the house of prayer a den of thieves. And Jesus whipped. And whoever has that spirit of Jesus will also whip and drive out such goons that make the house of God a den of thieves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will get the breakthrough. I know people are praying for 1 point from 20 years. Still, that was not answered. You know why? Because they did not develop the wings of the eagle to rise high. Yes, they are praying for 20 years. They are praying. I know people praying from the time they became believers, and now they are 24, 25 years old in the Lord. Still, they don't receive. Because they are sitting in the area of influence of the serpent and praying there. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Are we understanding? My house, Jesus. Listen, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That means the church of God has to be filled with eagles. And those eagles are supposed to impact the nations of the earth. Amen. Are we understanding? Listen. What will happen when you wait on the Lord? When you wait on the Lord, in that process, people will start to disconnect from you. Because when you rise high, see, have you seen eagles roaming around with chickens? Eagle and chicken are roaming. My friend, this chicken. My friend, this that small chick. These are my friend. No, eagles don't. You don't see them around with chicken, because chicken live on the surface of the earth. Eagles are soaring high in the air. And when you wait on the Lord, you will disconnect from chickens. Hallelujah. I'm not talking only about unbelievers, even believers who are chickens, who are fluttering their wings and trying to find breakthrough by their own strength and not finding it and not changing and not submitting to God. You will disconnect.
No, Pastor.
And you will, when you rise high, you will find no one around you there. You will find no one around you, but you will find the place where God sits. Hallelujah. That is what will happen. When you rise high, this thing oh brother, no one is with me. You will stop complaining like that. I never in my life, when I understood the presence of God, I never say, oh, no one is with me, no one is encouraging me, because I am an eagle. I have to train myself to stay alone in the realms of the air. Hallelujah. And I am happy about that. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Hallelujah. When you are standing in Manhattan and you look at the buildings from the ground, or when you're standing in New York City, you look at the buildings. Oh, so huge buildings. But when you go to the JFK airport, take a flight and fly through the same place from the air, the buildings will look small, this small. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That is what will happen to your mind when you get the wings of the eagle. The problems that were bothering you so big, now these things are nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. When you are sleeping on the ground and the snake comes on you, hallelujah, the snake will kill me, but it will not happen so when you are high in the air. The eagle can attack the snake, but the snake cannot attack an eagle. You got to understand that. Hallelujah. So when Adam and Eve, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God left them, the breath of God left them, they fell to the earth and they became earthly. Like the devil fell like lightning down, they also fell. Man falls. That is why it is called the fall of Adam. He fall to become an earthly being. When he became an earthly being, his mind became carnal. He became a resident of the serpent's territory. And he started to say, oh, we are naked. And then the Bible says, I don't have time to go there now. The Bible says they sued the leaves to cover their nakedness. Even after that, when God came, they said, God, we cannot come before you because we are naked. Even after sewing leaves around you, you still feel nakedness. That nakedness is of your spirit and not of your flesh. That's why you are still feeling naked. So they were naked. And when God said, who did that? Who told you to eat of the fruit? Adam said, I did not do it. The woman you gave me, she did it. Eve said, I did not do it. The serpent did it. That's the carnal mind. You are justified by your own works. That's the carnal mind. Oh, brother, I did not do anything wrong. You know, this, that, justifying yourself. That's the carnal mindset. You see, that developed there. The devil's territory. They started to dwell in the devil's territory. That is the carnal mind. Are we understanding now? Amen. That is the carnal mind. And Satan started to have an impact over them because they started to dwell in the devil's territory through the carnal mind. Are we understanding? But Jesus came to, I told you, to restore the pattern of God in us. And those who wait on the Lord, shall mount up wings like of eagle. They shall rise high. And then after they fell and they became carnal, that is where God gave them a promise again. What is the promise? Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. He shall bruise what? Your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now listen to me. The eagle is always above the serpent. The heavenly is always above the earthly. Hallelujah. That is what the promise was. You shall eat the dust of the earth. You shall crawl on the earth. You shall become an earthly influential being, you serpent. But I will give a seed to the woman who will come from above. Hallelujah. He shall crush your head. We cannot. The Bible says Jesus gave us that authority. Jesus gave us that authority. You shall trample over snakes and scorpions. We can never trample over snakes and scorpions until we develop the wings of an eagle. Hallelujah. Amen. Because an earthly creature cannot stamp on, you know, they are at the same level. If the snake is on the earth and you are also on the earth, you are on the same level. For you to crush the head of the serpent, you have to go above the snake. You have to go above the serpent, and waiting on the Lord gives you the stature to go above the realms of the serpent, to go above the area of his influence. Hallelujah, to tap into the heavenlies. And then from that place, have you seen the videos where the snake just comes and takes us, where the eagle just comes and takes a snake from the water? I saw those videos on the National Geographic channel. Hallelujah, that was the promise right away. When Adam fell down, God gave Adam and Eve. He said, Eve, from the woman, there shall be a seed who will be an eagle. Hallelujah. Who will be above the serpent's territory. And that is Jesus Christ, the one who was, who came by the wind of God, who came by the Ruach Elohim of God, who had the Ruach HaKodesh of God, who died on the cross and resurrected and released the same spirit for us that resurrected him from the dead. Hallelujah. That is the seed. Are we understanding? Amen. We cannot, you know, it when the Bible is talking about trampling, it is not using the word to only crush. It's talking about trampling the heads of the serpents and the scorpions. The serpents, it is talking about constant walking over serpents and scorpions. Do you see that? It's not talking about, you see, like there is a cockroach, there is a roach in your house, you just go and stamp on it and kill it. It's not like that. It's talking about trampling. That means constant walking in a realm that is over snakes and scorpions. That is the realm of eagles. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now? Amen. So that is the promise right away in Genesis chapter number 3. That he shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. That means the seed that will come shall be above in the realms of the serpent. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't, if you try to fight the devil in his realms, you will be defeated. That's why when you get dreams and you see the devil, you see the demons, and you try to say them in Jesus' name, they don't go. In Jesus' name, they don't go. Because what is happening, though you are using the weapon of the name of Jesus and it is powerful, though you are doing all those things that you know that you should do in that dream, but still the demon comes and presses your neck because it's his territory. Hallelujah. Because it's his territory. But when you fight the devil from a realm that he cannot enter, hallelujah, he has no power over you. That's why Jesus said, you shall trample over snakes and scorpions, and what? Nothing by no means shall harm you. Are you understanding the meaning of that word?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you understand the meaning? Because why they cannot harm you? Because you are trampling on them from a realm they cannot enter. That's why they cannot harm you, but you can harm them. Wow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Believers, we need to mount up wings like of eagle and rise high in the realms of the spirit. We are here. We are praying and suffering attacks. Oh God, we are not fighting from the right realm. We have to rise high with the wings of the eagle, waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now? So listen, a church that prays for the nations is the church of eagles. A church that can impact nations is the church of eagles. Is the church of eagles. Let me go to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Now, I cannot go in detail. Prophets, Jeremiah was an eagle. Jeremiah was the one who plucked the kingdom of Israel and planted the kingdom of Israel under the rulership of Babylon by his prophecies. You know what was the job of Jeremiah, right? What was his prophecy? He was telling the kings of Israel, don't rebel against the king of Babylon. God is taking you out of here and he wants you to submit there. And God will be with you. But these people were not listening. But God did it according to his word. He was an eagle. Eagles pluck out kingdoms and plant kingdoms through their beaks. Oh God, hallelujah. That is what eagles do. That is what a church has to do. God has given the, that is why Bible says a church, the house of God, is supposed to pray for all the nations. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Hallelujah. It says, verse number 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Hallelujah. Amen. What to root out, what to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow. That was the power given to Jeremiah. And that power started to be functionary in Jeremiah when he developed the wings of the eagle. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 17. Ezekiel chapter number 17. Now, if you want to understand this, there is a sermon on the channel called The Prophetic Dimensions of Eagles, something like that. The Eagle Dimensions of the Prophetic on the channel. You can refer to that sermon. There is a detailed study that I took about this scripture. Ezekiel chapter number 17. Yeah, it's in Ezekiel chapter number 17, verse number 1 onwards. Verse number 1 onwards. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, pose a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel, and say, Thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with large wings and long pinions, full of feathers of various colors, came to Lebanon, took from the cedar of the highest branch. He cropped off its topmost young twig and carried it to a land of trade. He set it in a city of merchants. Then he took some of the seed of the land and planted it in a fertile field. He placed it by abundant waters and set it like a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. Underline that. Low stature, that is submissive. Its branch turned toward him, but its roots were under it. So it became a vine, brought forth branches and put forth shoots. Now, almost all the commentators and the Bible commentary on this particular Ezekiel chapter 17 refer the first eagle as Nebuchadnezzar and the second eagle as Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Okay, but there is some more interpretation and deepness to this scripture. Now, when it is talking about an eagle that came and took a branch of cedar, it refers to the king Jehoiachin. Nebuchadnezzar took captive of the king Jehoiachin and took him to Babylon. And there he made him and his family stay. And when he took him to Babylon, he appointed another king, I think his uncle, King Zedekiah in Israel. He said, I am taking this king, you take care. I appoint you. You take care here of Israel. I appoint you. So King Zedekiah was appointed by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, are we understanding the story? You can read you have to read the whole Bible to understand the story. The book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. But I am simplifying it for you. So, when he took Jehoiachin and he made him captive, he appointed King Zedekiah here. When Zedekiah was appointed as king, Jeremiah used to tell him, don't rebel against King Nebuchadnezzar. Be submissive to him. But he was swayed away by the other false prophets. That is, other false prophets who used to say, oh, make the yoke of oxen, and I think the prophet's name was Hananiah, and break it and tell Zedekiah, God will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar over your life, like this, and you shall rebel and you shall also prosper and defeat Nebuchadnezzar. But Jeremiah was saying, no, don't do it. So, commentators say that the first eagle was Nebuchadnezzar and the second eagle there was Pharaoh. But the eagle is the one who initiated the process. It cannot be King Nebuchadnezzar. The eagle is Jeremiah the prophet who prophesied, who took a branch, a twig from the heavenlies and planted it. And hallelujah. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Okay. Who took off the heavenlies and planted it. Okay, I don't have time to go in detail. Refer back to my old sermon. So, he was the prophet. That is of That is pulling down, rooting out, building and planting. That is the job of the eagles. And listen to me. What does the Bible says in the book of Joel? And then Peter confirms it in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. He says in the last days, he will pour out his ruach. That the young people shall become prophets. A church that is filled with eagles, a church that is operating in the realms of God, eagles. And when you operate in the realm of eagles, you are able to root out, pull down, and play with the destinies of nations and apply the will of God to the destiny of nations and break the manipulation of the devil over the face of the earth. That is what the church is called into. To operate as a team of eagles. Hallelujah. You are seeking. I am seeking God here. Someone else is seeking God. But we are all connected in the spirit. We are operating as eagles. So one of my friend who is senior to me in ministry. I met him in a marriage. When I went to the marriage. And that my friend spoke with me. And he was so happy to see me ministering and you know, doing God's ministry. And he told me, you know, Brother Rahul, it's not the time of pulpits. It's time of the secret place. He told me that my friend, he's an intercessor. And he said, you know what? Read the book of Rhys Howells, the intercessor. I don't know how many of you know Rhys Howells. Does anyone know Rhys Howells? Rhys Howells is the one in whose university Renard Bonnke studied. The great evangelist Renard Bonnke studied in the university in England. That university was the University of Rhys Howells. He is less known by everyone, but he was an eagle. He was during the time when there was the World War II going on and during the time of Hitler. He used to sit in his room with two or three people, intercede, and God used to elevate his vision and show him what Hitler is going to do. Every plan, what Hitler was going to do, God would show him. He wrote his whole book about the things God used to show him. You know how Hitler was a type of Antichrist. And before Hitler could do anything, the eagle will know. And then the eagle will shatter his plans. You know, I believe the one responsible for Hitler's death was an intercessor. Otherwise, that wicked man would have prospered. If there was no intercessor on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. That is the power Satan gives to his servant. The power to destroy the nations. The power to manipulate nations. And do you think God will give us only power to get breakthroughs, get children, get job? No. That is what God wants to give the power to his children. To influence nations. To become an eagle who can know the things from an elevated vision. Hallelujah. Hitler was the dragon that was destroying the Jews. You know the story of Hitler. Hallelujah. But this man, Rhys Howells, he used to sit in his room with three, four intercessors. And they used to pray. Oh God. And then the wind of God would come, make them rise. And they would say, oh, Hitler is going to do this. Holy Spirit, let's start off. And they would destroy every plan before Hitler would implement it. Wow. Hallelujah. If there are no intercessors, the land will be wasted. Nations will be destroyed. If there are no eagles who can develop the wings, hallelujah, of the eagles, mount up wings of eagles and rise high, nations can be destroyed. Amen. Are we understanding? Wings of an eagle. So the church is supposed to be a church of eagles. Who pray for the nation. Let us pray here. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this time. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Father, teach us to wait on you, Lord. Teach us to wait in your presence. Teach us to empty ourselves, Lord. Teach us to crucify the flesh. Teach us to destroy the carnal mind, our own understanding, our own wants, our own things, Lord. Are warned for an attachment with earthly things, that we will be able to rise up, mount up wings like of eagle. Lord, I pray tonight, so many of your people are praying from yours, but they are discouraged. They are going forward, coming back to the same place, because they have not received the wings of the eagle. And tonight I pray through the release of this word, oh Lord, that they will learn to have the wings of the eagle that will take them out of the area of the serpent's influence and take them in your presence in Jesus' name. Let there be a flight that would be made in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Raboko Rafa Sialta Ravandrala. Revelation chapter number 12 is real. The serpent is going to persecute the woman. The serpent is making plans to persecute the church. But as a church, every person has to develop the wings of the eagle to go into the wilderness and to be nourished in that place. Hallelujah. It is time to build up Goshen. It is time to build up the house of God. It is time to build up the Ark of Noah that preserved Noah and his family when the floods came. Yes, the flood of deception has already been released. Oh, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, oh, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Oh, that raising up of the standard is the rising of eagles, my dear friends. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord wants to raise you up, because the enemy is coming in like a flood to destroy the whole earth. Oh, Razokoro Folzial Taraba. And if you want to be preserved in this time, rise high above the floods in the Ark of Noah, in the fellowship of God's house. Oh, hallelujah. The floods destroyed everything that was there on earth. Even the mountains, high mountains were destroyed. But what it could not destroy is the Ark of Noah. Hallelujah. That was high above the floods. That is an eagle. That is an eagle. Hallelujah. People of God, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. You are building a house. You are building an ark that will preserve you and those who are with you in the ark when the floods come. Yes, Noah was telling people, because the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. He was warning people, but no one listened to Noah. There were high chances that he could be discouraged and stop the building of ark, but he built the ark because he had faith. He knew that his labor in the Lord will not go in vain. People are rejecting his work. They are not listening to him, but the ark that he is building, he knew that is the ark which will preserve him and his family when the floods come. Wow, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Build the house of God. Work for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Even when there is dryness and rejection all around, continue to build it, dear friends. Continue to build it. Hallelujah. The Ark of Noah signifies the end time church. Hallelujah. The people with Noah signifies the end time people in the Ark of God, the remnant who will be eagles, who will rise high above the floods of deception. Oh, don't dwell in the floods of deception. Don't be in the waters of lies. Rise like of eagles high above the realms, above, out of the influence of the serpent in Jesus' name. I want to thank you that the wings of the eagles are bringing people out of the influence of the serpent in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful time once again. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We cover everyone here with the blood of Jesus. Even the Saturday and the Sunday meeting, we give into your hands, Lord. Lord, bring your people that we may build the ark, Lord, that we may rise like eagles and impact nations. Intercede, root out, pull down, Lord, build and plant. Oh, Lord, we know the authority of the nations is in our hands, is given to the church, and we want to take the place that you have given us, the place where eagles rise, in the name of Jesus. We cover everyone with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and we say amen. Hallelujah. Give a shout of amen, people of God.